Dear God, thank you for the message that you gave us today. Help me to be able to deliver it the way that people will understand. Send your Holy Spirit to help us understand. And we thank you for all the blessings you give us in thy holy name. Amen. Planning for your life. I'm going to start out with a true story. Several years ago, Pastor Ken Williams and the elders were in a meeting. He says, I got some news that you may not like coming down the pipe, but things are going to change. We're going to have to split our services with other churches. And we look like, well, what does that mean? Well, you guys may have to step up and give a sermon now and then. And it probably isn't necessarily the change I wanted, but it was a good change for me because it helped me grow. And I'm sorry you had to give us the bad news, but it got me to where I am today. Okay. Chris Sims threw three perfect touchdown passes that were dropped in the end zone. They weren't difficult catches. They were right in the hands of the receivers, but they were dropped, and Texas ended up losing the game, which they might have won because of those three plays. In the paper the next day, they interviewed one of the receivers who had dropped two of the three passes. I felt sorry for him that evening, and I wondered if they would even let him back in the state of Texas after what he did. But in the interview, he said, I don't know what happened. I just know at that critical moment, I lost my focus and I dropped the ball. How many of you know that when you lose focus, you can lose games? And when you lose focus, you can lose life. I need to confess that staying on focus for Jesus is one of the greatest battles that I fight. How to stay focused with everything that is going on around me. So I have been thinking a lot about this subject. And I have been thinking what it means to stay focused. And I wanted to let you know that I am preaching to my own heart as well. Because more than anything, I want to be a focused Christian. I want to know that God is in control of my life and that He is guiding and directing my life. And no matter what happens, no matter what the impact may be, I want that focus. And I believe with all my heart that it is possible to stay focused and to face the future with confidence and assurance. And I believe that there is a passage of Scripture that has all the elements that tells us that God wants to help us stay on focus all the way through our lives and bring us safely to the destination that He has planned for us. Do you know what that destination is? Even though we are confronted on every turn by confusion and diversion and misdirection and major events, we can still have a sense of focus and purpose each day. What God promises to give us is what He has provided for all of His children through all ages. At every turn, we have decisions to make, don't we? At every corner, there are choices to be made. And without some sense of focus and direction, we simply do not know what to do or which way to turn. We cannot count on our own wisdom and our own sense of direction. Jeremiah in Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. How many of you know that is true? You cannot find the answer in yourself. And even when we are sure we are right, even when we think we know what we are doing, Proverbs 14:12 tells us that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of the way is death. How many of you have been in a situation where you thought you had it figured out? You knew what to do, and it was from your own reasoning and sources, and then all of a sudden you realized it was the wrong answer. No, there's a way to stay focused, but we have to follow God's plan. And the promise in these two verses, which are the favorite verses of many of God's people, is a promise to take us all the way through life, focused and finally delivered to our intended destination. These verses should be your life verses. They are mine. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. He will help you focus, and I've learned that focus is a result of priorities. And priorities are a result of purpose. And purpose is a result of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you don't have a personal relationship with your Creator, and if you don't know God through Jesus Christ His Son, it is going to be hard for you to stay focused because you do not have a center in your life. You not only need a center, but you need the correct center in your life. Romans 8:23 says, "We know that all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose." How many of you know that God has a purpose for every one of His children? There is a purpose for you and for me. God knows what the purpose is, and His desire is that we find that purpose and we stay on focus with that purpose through our priorities. God knew what He was doing from the onset. How many of you know that God has a blueprint for your life and for my life before we were ever born? He knows what His purpose for us is and what He wants us to do. And now, how do we stay focused on that? Principle number one, focus requires dependence. Focus requires dependence. Notice what the writer of Proverbs says. He says, trust in the Lord. Trust, depend. Trust is a word that is in operation every day of your life. Nothing illustrates that principle more than air travel. You know that flying is hard enough without the airline industry scaring us with their terminology. Barb and I drove to the airport in Wenatchee, watching for the signs that led us to the airport, where you're going to trust a bunch of nuts and bolts to get you to someplace else. I wonder how it got its name, terminal. And when it was time to land, why does the flight attendant have to remind us that we are making our final approach? It's interesting that we trust all of this, and yet all of that is involved in trust. We don't know the pilot, we don't know the co-pilot, we don't know the mechanics, we don't know any of the mechanical history of the plane, yet we trust ourselves in air travel, don't we? Mark trusted himself all the way around the world. And the same could be said of any other kind of travel, too. The word trust means to lean on, to be confident of. And the Hebrew word for trust originally had its idea of being helplessly face downward. The word trust meant to totally and completely and absolutely and without reservation and without considerations and without stipulation put your faith in something. And the word trust is found in the book of Proverbs many times. Proverbs 16:20 says, "Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." Proverbs 22:19 says, "And so that your trust may be in the Lord, I am instructing you today, even you." Proverbs 28:25 says, "He who has a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts the Lord will be prospered." Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him." When you get to the book of Psalms, you find the same trust over and over again. Psalms 115:11 says, "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Psalms 125:1 says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever." When you put your trust in the Lord, you depend on Him. And the writer of Proverbs says that the first steps to getting focus in your life is when you come to the place where you are willing to depend on God, to trust Him and believe that God knows what is best for you, and to rest yourself entirely on Him, trust in the Lord. Principle number two, focusing requires dedication. The next phrase in these two verses says, "Trust in the Lord, how? With all your heart." Yes. That is the picture of surrender. What does it mean to trust with all your heart? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. In James 1, where James is encouraging God's people to pray, he says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded, unstable in all his ways." That's pretty harsh. How many of you ever prayed like that, keeping your options open? You haven't committed to the Lord with all your heart. You have committed to the Lord and left your options open. That doesn't get you focused. It gets you unfocused. That gets your life all fuzzy, and you have to get rid of all your options and say, "Almighty God, I am trusting in you." How? With all my heart. In the book of Psalms 119, which is referred to as the Psalms of the Whole Heart, over and over again, in that psalm talks about what we are doing with the Lord, we are doing with our whole heart. For instance, in verse 10 of Psalm 119, it says, "With my whole heart I have sought you." In verse 34, "Give me understanding, and I will keep your law, and I will observe it with my whole heart." Verse 58, "I have entreated your favor with my whole heart." Verse 69 says, "I will keep your precepts with my whole heart." Verse 145 says, "I cry out with my whole heart." How many of you know that God wants wholehearted people? And when we trust in Him, if we want focus in our life, and I want to keep telling myself this, there is no halfway with God. We don't just kind of share our guidance system with God. "I will do what I think part of the time and what you think part of the time." God says, if you want focus in your life, if you want direction in your life, the first thing you do is to depend on me. Trust in the Lord, and don't do it partly, but fully, with your whole heart. That means you don't keep options open. There isn't anything such as, "Lord, I'm going to trust you with this, but if it doesn't work out, there is plan B." How many of you know that the Bible doesn't have any plan Bs? God has His perfect will. When we missed His perfect will, He doesn't throw us away, but He doesn't have plan B or plan C. He has a perfect will for us. And when we miss that because we don't do what God tells us to do, oftentimes we are left on an uncharted sea to figure out things, and it doesn't go very well, does it? God wants us to trust Him with our whole heart. Focusing requires dependence and dedication, but it also requires discipline, and that is principle number three. Focusing requires discipline. This may be the hardest part. There is a qualification in the verse. Notice that the God of Proverbs says, "Lean not on your own understanding." No, the word lean doesn't mean to just kind of rest like this. The word lean means to put your whole weight on something. It is the same concept as the word trust. And the writer of the Proverbs says, don't lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. When you turn to God in trust with your whole heart, you automatically turn away from something else, don't you? Here you are, going through life, you're trying to make the best of life, and you feel all unfocused in your life, and you're making all the decisions based upon Wall Street and all of the other things that might make input into what you do. God is not even in the picture. All of a sudden, you realize that you are unfocused, and you hear a message on how to get focused spiritually and to trust in the Lord. Trust Him with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Psalms 146:3 says, don't put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. This next story is from a man who did mountain climbing, and I really enjoy mountain climbing. There's a man named Ben Patterson who wrote a book on his mountain climbing experience that he had while climbing Mount Lyell in 1988, the highest peak in Yosemite National Park. He writes, our base camp was less than 2,000 feet from the peak, but to hike there and back took most of the day. As the hours passed, he wrote, two of the more experienced climbers built a bit of a lead, leaving me with another companion. Being competitive by nature, and I can see myself in this picture, I began to look for a shortcut to beat them to the top. I thought I saw one on the right at an outcropping of rocks, so I went, much to the protest of my companion. Perhaps it was the effects of the high altitude, but the significance of the two experienced climbers not choosing this path did not register on my consciousness. It should have, because 30 minutes later, I was trapped in this cul-de-sac of rock atop the Lyell Glacier, looking down several hundred feet in a sheer slope of ice, pitched at about 45-degree angle. I was only about 10 feet from the safety of a rock, but one little slip, and I would not stop sliding until I landed in the valley floor some 50 miles away. It was nearly noon, and the glacier was glistening with slippery ice. I was stuck, and I was scared. It took over an hour for my experienced climbers to find me. Standing on the rock that I wanted to reach, one of them leaned out and used an ice axe to chip two little footholds into the glacier. Then he gave me the following instructions. Ben, you must step out from where you are and put your foot on where the first foothold is, and when your foot touches it, without one moment's hesitation, swing your other foot across and land it on the next step. And when you do that, reach out, and I will grab your hand and pull you to safety. Now that sounded really good to me, but it was the next thing that made me more frightened than ever. But listen carefully, my friend. As you step across, do not lean into the mountain. If anything, lean out a bit, because otherwise your feet may fly out from under you and you will start sliding down. He wrote, I don't like precipices. When I am on the edge of a cliff, my instinct is to lie down and hug the mountain, to become one with it, not to lean away from it. I can understand, because I have this terrible fear of heights myself that can just paralyze me. But that was my good friend, and he was telling me what to do. For a moment, based solely on what I believed to be the goodwill and the good sense of my friend, I did not what I felt. I decided to stifle my own impulse to cling to the safety of the mountain, lean out, and step out and traverse the ice to safety. It took less than 2 seconds to find out if my faith was well-founded, and it was. And I am reminded often that when we are trying to find our focus, God will instruct us to do things that are the opposite of our inclination. And yet, we have to ask ourselves, do we trust the one that we have trusted? And when he tells us, this is the way, walk ye in it, And part of our own human inclination tells us that that is not the way to go. Do we follow him? Do we lean out from the mountain so that we are safe, even if that doesn't feel right? Or do we follow our own inclination? And that is what the writer of Proverbs says. He says, if you are going to have focus in your life, you have to depend, you have to trust, you have to dedicate yourself in such a way that you do so with all of your heart, and you have to have discipline yourself that when your inclinations and the Word of God come into conflict, even though you have these human feelings that you cannot deny, you do what God tells you to do. Trust in the Lord and His Word, and lean not to your own inclinations. And then notice principle number 4. Focusing requires discernment. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. This is a great little phrase in this verse. To acknowledge means to recognize. Notice that we are to acknowledge Him in all our ways. The key word here is the word in, I am. We are to acknowledge the Lord just where He places us, in the home, in the business, at school, at work, at play. We are to acknowledge Him in health and in affliction. And we are to acknowledge Him when we are well and we are strong, and when we are at weddings and when we are at funerals. In all our ways, whatever we do, we are to recognize and acknowledge Him. That means we are to follow Him and to obey Him in all our daily walks in what He says, and continue to do that in all that we do. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. And when you do all these things, you depend, you trust in the Lord. And you dedicate yourself with all your heart, and you discipline yourself, not leaning to your own understanding, and you acknowledge Him in everything you do. And the results will be you will get direction in your life. Focus in your life results in direction. The end of these verses say, He shall direct thy paths. You know that when God directs your paths, you are focused. When you get your signals from God, you are in His path. You know what to do. Nothing can sway you. You are on God's mission, in God's place, in God's way, even as the Lord Jesus who came to give His life for the world. I want to stay focused in the pathway that God has for me so I won't miss any of His blessings that He wants to do in my life or in the lives of others around me. So I'm going to commit myself to trust with all my heart and not lean to my own understanding, and acknowledge Him in all my ways, because that is the formula for getting a focused life where God directs your paths. Literally, what it is saying in this text is, when you do this, He makes your path straight. He gives you a straight path, and so you know where to walk, and you know what to do. What a thrill! And the Word of God is filled with verses that impress upon our hearts to know that this is the truth. Let me give you several of them. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Psalm 25:8, good and upright is the Lord, and therefore He teaches sinners in the way. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Isaiah 30:21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, and whenever you turn to the left. Isaiah 48:17 says, "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit and who leads you by the way you should go." Amen. Thank you, God, for that wonderful promise. I am not out here on a sea of uncertainty trying to figure out what my life is all about. I've got Almighty God directing my path. You say, if I have God directing my path, I might miss out on some of the things I want to do. Listen to me. The Word of God says, commit your ways to the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I am learning finally that everything I think that I want to do that is not in the center of what God wants me to do is second best. If I just get over on God's path, He not only gives me what He wants, but what I want. He gives me what my desires are. I can illustrate that from my life over and over again, that when I focus on God's purpose, I get God's perfect will for my life. What a thrill that is, that He is there saying, Luke, turn this way, turn that way. No, don't go there. Focus requires dependence, trust in the Lord. It requires dedication with all your heart. It requires discipline. Don't lean on your own understanding. It requires discernment. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and it results in direction. He will guide you. He will give you the desires of your heart. This is God's proactive plan for your life. From this moment forward, every single day until you get to heaven, you say, I know all this, so how come I am so frustrated? How come I am so lost? How come I am so not focused? My friend, God's providence doesn't work unless you're willing to trust Him and depend on Him and not lean on your own understanding and say, Almighty God, thank you for this wonderful instrument you gave to direct my life. And once and for all, I am going to trust you. I am going to get it right. I am going to put it into operation so that I know where I am going. You will never be truly happy until you are walking in the perfect will of God. He has promised to direct all who will allow Him to and accept His Son as your Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, before you get lost, before you get totally out of focus, why don't you give your heart to Christ and let Him give you not only forgiveness for your sins and salvation for your life, but ultimately direction for what He wants you to do, and He will do it. And that is the promise of your life. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for this promise in the Bible that you will give us the desires of our life, the direction in our life, and showing us the way to get it. And all the texts that you've given to support each of those ideas. Help us to dedicate our lives to you and follow what you want to do for us fully. In thy holy name, amen.